It's time for another round of
ChatGPT.
And our topic today is, should I have a website? All right, ready? Start generating. Okay, first of all, why do I ask this question? Well, you know, research is me search. And I have had a bunch of websites over the last couple of years. I have a Patrick J. McGinnis. I have a FOMO Sapiens. I used to have one for Derigo Advisors, which is kind of my consulting company. I now have an X Quotient one, which is my new coaching company with a couple partners. It's a lot of websites. And so I feel like I've learned something about websites. Good, bad, and ugly. And I want to talk about that because, to be honest with you, you don't necessarily even have to hire somebody to do this kind of stuff. You can do it yourself. I just put together a draft of the website for X Quotient, which you can check out at xquotient.io. I built that on Wix. Now, I'm not ashamed of that, you know, and why? Because I wanted to figure out with my partners what we wanted to say before we invested in potentially hiring somebody to build a site. And the reason I did that is because probably 8 years ago now, a little more than that, I had my first website, the first patrickmcginnis.com. And I didn't know what the heck I wanted on that. I was working with a firm. They asked me for a bunch of info, and then they just made this website, which, by the way, like, I ended up rebuilding less than a year later. And so had I known, I would have been much better off to make something on the, you know, sort of on the cheap, quick and dirty, as it were, make it myself, and then see what people thought of it, get some feedback, figure out what I even wanted it for, and then invest the money. Now, obviously, it's a lot easier and cheaper to make a website now than it was. I tried. I remember I built a website with Wix way back then. It was pretty awesome. Now Wix is pretty good. I like it. Same with all the other sites, right? You know, there's just been an evolution in the quality of what you can build with this whole no-code revolution. But that was something that I learned the hard way, and now I kind of get it. At least I think I do. And I want to talk about that today with you. I will have six things to think about when it comes to building a website. I'll have that right after this break.
FOMO. FOMO.
All right. Tudo bem, meus queridos FOMO sapiens? Now, that right there was Portuguese. And as you know, I love speaking foreign languages. But I'm not alone. One in five Americans have learned a new language on their bucket list. If that's you, make 2024 the year you finally check it off that list with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's tips and tools are approachable, accessible, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Now, FOMO sapiens, you know I speak four languages, and it takes work to stay on top of them, especially with French. C'est difficile. But with Babbel, I'm able to practice practical conversations that I can actually use in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/FOMO. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/FOMO. That's spelled BABBEL.com/FOMO. Rules and restrictions may apply. You're talking about building a website, so the first question here is why? Three whys, because why do you need a website? Well, if you're starting a company, website, probably pretty good to have, right? If you're an individual who just wants to have their information on the internet, it can make a lot of sense. Like even just a simple website that has your bio, some of your accomplishments, things you're working on, I think that's great. And I'll tell you why, because then people look on that website. And you can brag all you want about yourself, but nobody's like, what a braggart this person is. Because it looks like, oh, somebody built a website. It's weird. There's a psychological thing where even though you put it on the internet, it's like, feels like a third party. Versus if you send them your bio in an email and they're like, wow, look at this person. They think they are so wonderful. So there's just value to having out there. Or you can make it look like a firm website or whatever. I've done that too. It can be, you know, it can be a million different things. So there can be real value. Or you can just have LinkedIn do it. A lot of people just have a nice LinkedIn profile, and that's awesome too. But I do think understanding why you want to do this will really help you because you're going to need to answer a lot of questions as you fill in the content. So identifying the purpose, at least for now, of that website, really important. Sounds easy. isn't easy. Like, for example, when I built my first website, I was like, should it be the name of my book or should it be my name? Right? The 10%entrepreneur.com or patrickmcginnis.com. And I talked to a lot of different people and I just sided with Patrick because like, maybe I'll write another book. That's a really interesting question. So am I building a book website or am I building an author website? Stuff like that. Am I building an author website? Am I building a business website for a person who writes books but also does other things? That's the stuff I want you to get into when you think about it. Number two, I mentioned this, what I did with X Quotient. Build a placeholder. Quick and dirty, simple. Wix, Squarespace. They're very affordable, although Wix just really increases prices, which wasn't very nice, Wix. You know, I build my website on you and you're like jacking the prices on me. But it allows you to test stuff and then quickly engineer it, send it to people, get their feedback, change it a little bit without a lot of drama. It's so easy to do this stuff, I swear to God. And if you can't figure out something, you just Google it and there's a video. It's awesome. And so therefore you can start to see. And what I like to do is I did engage a little design help. So I had somebody help our team design a logo and come up with some color schemes and stuff. So I had a little bit to make it look more professional, but it's not, you know, it's not a heavy duty, overly engineered kind of thing. It's about the content at this point and getting that right before investing in building a website. So having that placeholder website, always good, always good. Buy that URL, put something up, and you're good to go. Number three, test it out with people. I just alluded to this, but really test it out. Send it to people who are in your industry and say, what do you think of my site? I like to look at other people's websites for inspiration, but getting feedback from people you respect who are in your industry or doing what you want to do, it's so valuable because they've been through the process, so they'll have insights of things you may not have thought of before. Test that baby out, put it in the sunlight, let the light of day shine on it, and learn about what the impressions are, right? It's kind of like you bake a cake. You never really know if it's good until somebody tries it. Like you may think it's terrible, but if you give it to 10 people because you're just hard on yourself and they all love it, that's what matters. It matters how it lands with the client. Four, really search around and find things you like. And this is the thing, as I mentioned before, you know, I like to look at other people's websites, but don't be stuck just within your specific area. Like there may be design aesthetic of a website or something totally different that will give you ideas so that you can emulate that in your own work or give that to a designer or something when you build it. And I think that's really what's important is when you go to a designer, this is the thing people don't get. You go to a designer, you're like, you know, I want to build a website. If you don't have an idea of what you want, it's very hard for them. So have some general ideas and also understand that you're not going to be able to change this a million times. If you want to do 53 different design changes and like iterate a million times, it's going to cost you a fortune. So having a clear, very clear, as clear as possible idea of what you want, if you decide to go out and pay somebody, and having examples and saying, I like this page from this one, I like this page from that one, then you are going to have a lot easier times to be faster, cheaper, more fun, and you're not going to have to revise it a million times. Really critical. Number five, how to minimize investment. So it used to be that a website cost a gazillion dollars. Like seriously, 20 years ago, when I was a baby venture capitalist, that's what it costs, like $1 million to build a website, something like that. Now, I mean, it's very affordable. And there are folks all over the world who can work with you. Now, you have to be careful because you can't just hire anybody. And it can be a situation where I once had a friend who hired some designers in a country in another part of the world to build an app. He spent $80,000 and it was unusable. That's scary. Websites aren't so hard. But I would say, really focusing on finding somebody who, and you do this by just getting bids, who can do this cheaply, quickly, efficiently, and maybe looking overseas, internationally, really important. For me, the thing that's harder to replicate is good design. And so if you try to minimize investment by, for example, going to 99 Designs, it may be okay, but I had an experience where I bought one and it was low resolution and it looked terrible and I never really used it. So those kinds of things are harder because it's a lettuce of a commoditized skill. But again, I've had friends who built websites. They're like, how did you pay $8,000 for this? Really? Because it's kind of one of these things. The price has come down because of all these new tools. And so talking to a bunch of different people, seeing their portfolio and then kind of figuring out what your budget is and matching your budget to making the site as simple as it needs to meet that budget. That's how you minimize investment and not doing a million iterations. Finally, number six, this is really important. Don't forget, You're going to need somebody to maintain this thing. So if you don't know how to use WordPress and you have somebody doing WordPress, make sure you engage them to make updates when you need them, right? Plan that out with them. Because you don't want to get in a situation where you build the website and 3 weeks later you hire somebody new and you're like, well, how are you going to put this person on the site? Yikes. Really important stuff. Those are my six things about building websites. There are more. I'm sure those of you who've done it have ideas as well. So feel free to share them with me. You can reach me at patrick@patrickmcginnis.com, PJ McGinnis on Twitter. Some people call it X, I don't. Or at Patrick J. McGinnis on Instagram. That is my advice. And now, ChatGPT, stop generating.
FOMO.
FOMO Sapiens is recorded in New York City. Theme music is by Mike McGinnis and editing and post-production is by Josh Elstro. If you like today's show, please be sure to rate it and recommend it to your friends. And as always, you can find me at FOMOSapiens.com and at PatrickMcGinnis.com. To advertise on FOMO Sapiens, reach out to contact@FOMOSapiens.com.